If I'm not mistaken, we were in Perek Chet, and I think we were up to Pasuk 22. Am I right or am I wrong? I'm right. For all intents and purposes, what has happened until this point, we're talking now about the dedication of the Beit HaMikdash. Shlomo HaMelech has been speaking, and he's talking. He has been talking about God's fulfillment of the promise that he will establish the house of David, and he, Shlomo HaMelech himself, represents the fact that the house of David has become a royal line. And what is happening on this day is really the fulfillment of everything that David HaMelech, my father, wanted. Vayamod Pasuk Chav Bet. Vayamod Shlomo Lefnei Mizbach Hashem. And Shlomo stood before the altar of God. By the way, this is a pasuk which indicates that up until that point in time, Shlomo HaMelech had been sitting. There was a description earlier of all of the people standing, and it would seem that Shlomo HaMelech was sitting, and here is one of the indications. Now at this point, he stands up. Vayamod Shlomo lefnei mizbach Hashem. Now, the Mefarshim don't say why he gets up, but I believe that he gets up because now he's going to be davening what is most probably going to be something like a Shmona Esrei. There is a point in time at which the king, in a sense, becomes a commoner. When does the king become a commoner? When does he become equal to all others? When he stands before God. As he gets ready to pray now, then before God all men are created equal. All men are equal in the eyes of God. He cannot daven Shmona Esrei sitting while everybody else has to stand. Now, at this, there's a very beautiful Mishnah in Masechet Horiot where the Mishnah asks, who's called a melech? What's the definition of king? I imagine if I would give you time, you would all come up with all sorts of definitions of what a king is. But I don't think you would come up with this definition. The Mishnah says, who is a king? Mi she'ein al gabav ela Hashem elokav. The one who has no one above him except his God. The king is beholden to no one except Hashem elokav. Therein lies the definition of king. There is no one above him. No one. He's the peak. But even above him, there is Hashem Elokav. Mi she'ein al gabav ela Hashem Elokav. The one who has no one above him except God, his God. Which means now at this point in the chapter, as Shlomo HaMelech is going to pray, now he is like all others. And therefore he rises to his feet. Vayamod Shlomo lifnei mizbach Hashem neged kol kahal Yisrael, and he's facing the entire community of Israel. Vayifros kapav hashamayim, and he lifted his hands heavenward. Why does he lift his hands heavenward? Some of the Mefarshim say very beautifully, he lifts his hands heavenward, and what he is saying is the following. Chazal said, "Kapayim halalu shelo chotfu b'binyan Beit HaMikdash klum." I am as clean or as innocent as these hands have nothing in them. I did not benefit from this massive construction project by even one penny. Nothing. Incidentally, if we are talking about similarities between the construction of the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, and the construction of the Mishkan, so There are two, there are really five parashiyot that deal with the Mishkan. Truma, Tetzaveh, Kipisa, Vayakel, Pekudei. Vayakel is when Moshe Rabbeinu gathers all of the people together so that they should build and complete the construction. What comes after Vayakel? Pekudei. What was Pekudei? Ela Pekudei HaMishkan, where Moshe Rabbeinu decided to give an accounting. Do you know what Shlomo HaMelech is doing now? He's giving an accounting. And what was the purpose of the accounting? So that no one should think that he benefited in some way. I have a lot of ideas coming through my mind now, so just have patience with me. The Gemara says, Rashi brings it by B'nai God u B'nai Ruvain. God says to them, the Pasuk says, V'hiyitem nikiyim me Hashem umi Yisrael. It's the end of the 40 years, they're ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. B'nai God and B'nai Ruvain, the sons of God and Ruvain, ask Moshe, listen, let us remain on the east bank of the Jordan. Moshe Rabbeinu gets very, very upset because he sees them as establishing some kind of a terrible precedent that your brothers are going to go out to war and you're going to remain here. So they say, no, we're going to cross the Jordan into Eretz Yisrael, and we're going to fight side by side with our brothers. We will not return to the east side of the Jordan until such time as everybody has already inherited the part of Eretz Yisrael that's his. And there Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, V'hiyitem nikiyim, you have to be clean in the eyes of Hashem v'Yisrael. Here Shlomo HaMelech is getting up to pray before God. He's going to stretch out his hands in prayer. He has to be clean in the eyes of Yisrael and clean in the eyes of God. You can't come pray if there's anything stuck to the heads. So therefore I say, just as by Moshe Rabbeinu there was the Parshat Vayakel, the gathering, and that's how this chapter 8 began over here. Yakel, Shlomo gathered them all together. The first thing that he has to do before he lifts his voice in prayer is he has to make it very clear, I'm clean. Just as Moshe Rabbeinu did, he made an accounting. But you know, of course, what happened in that accounting. What happened in Moshe Rabbeinu's accounting? That's not the way to do it. You have to start by making the student excited. You have to get the students to... You know what you did? You gave the punchline of the joke before the joke. That's joke aside. I mean, you kill a joke that way. What you have to begin is... Okay. But not completely correct. What you have to begin with is that here he's making an accounting for them of it must have cost millions of dollars. A mayontek of geld went into the Mishkan. And when he comes down to the bottom line, you know, the disbursements and what's the other thing? Huh? The money received and the money
debits
that
goes...
Debits and credits. So he cannot account for 1,775 shekel. And since 1,775 shekel, we're talking about milliardim shel shkalim. And this is really not even petty cash, and he can't account for it. So he says, the Medrash says that he says to the Rosh Hashanah, Oy Achshav, now Yisrael, now Israel are going to be able to complain against me. They're going to say that I benefited, I enjoyed from the Mishkan. Achsheheir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Einav, until the Rebbeinu Shem lit up his eyes. And you know what he had forgotten? He forgot the hooks. 1,775 hukalach that held the Mishkan together. I mean, the message, all of the walls of the Mishkan were curtains. The curtains were held to the rods by hooks. Without hooks, you know what? You don't have a Mishkan without hooks. but they're so small that he overlooked them. The message of the Medrash really is the importance and the significance of small things. No. So sunset is now. What's the difference a minute before or a minute after? When you're talking about Shabbos, it makes all the difference in the world. It may be small, but it makes a tremendous amount of difference. What Moshe Rabbeinu had to remember was the important, that very often the important things are the small things. Just as he makes an accounting, so Shlomo HaMelech makes an accounting. Very good. Sarah just said, Pasuk in Tehillim, Mi yale b'har Hashem, who will go up to the mountain of God, Mi yakum b'mekom kodesho, who can stand in his holy place, Niki hapayim, the one whose hands are clean. And then Uvar Levav is next, the one whose heart is pure. That's going to come in the tefillah now. Very good. Let's see if you keep it up. Right. So what we see over here is, number one, he stands. Number two, as the leader of the Jewish people, he is facing them. This is unique, by the way. This is a unique prayer because he is facing Kol Kahal Yisrael. And why is he facing Kol Kahal Yisrael? Because in lifting his hands heavenwards, he's not only going to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's speaking to them, he's sending them a message. I'm clean. Honest. And this is extremely, extremely important, so that people should have, they have to have respect for the king. They cannot suspect. They cannot respect the king whom they suspect of having done something wrong. Vayomar, and he said, and now you hear, of course, that he's speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem Elokei Yisrael, God, the God of Israel, Ein Kamocha Elohim, there is no God like you. Bashamayim imal v'al horetz mitachas, in the heavens above and the land below. Shomer habrit v'hachesed la'avodecha, ha'olchim l'fonecha b'chol libam. You are the one who is shomer, who guards, maintains the covenant and the chesed. Now the word chesed has a number of meanings. One of the meanings of chesed, of course, is that which one does beyond the call of duty. When you do something to somebody who may not necessarily be deserving. But chesed has another meaning. Chesed also means to be trustworthy and loyal. The Rebbeinu Shleilim is shomer habrit. There's a covenant, which means he remembers and he keeps the covenant, and there is chesed in that covenant, that he remains loyal and faithful to it. The covenant that you made with your servants who go before you with all of their hearts. Asher shomarta la'avdecha David avi, you kept, you guarded, you watched the covenant that you made with your servant, my father David, et asher dibarta lo, you kept that which you said to him. V'tedaber b'ficha, that which you said with your mouth, ubiyodcha mileta kayom hazeh, with your hands you have fulfilled. In other words, the promises that you made have all been fulfilled this day. Va'ato now. Hashem Elokei Yisrael, God, the God of Israel, shmor la'avdecha David avi et asher dibarta lo le'mor, keep that which you spoke to your servant, my father David. Lo yikaret lecha ish milafamai, that no man shall ever be cut out from before you. Yoshev al kisei Yisrael, sitting on the throne of Israel. Remember, we pointed out last week, and you will see it, that throughout, he does not talk merely of kingship or royalty, but he describes it as Yoshev al kisei Yisrael, the one who sits on the throne of Israel, because the term Yoshev al kisei Yisrael represents the continuity. And that's what's unique about Shlomo, because Shlomo is the first one who sits upon the throne of Israel. Only if your children will keep darkom, their road, to go before me, kasher halachto lefanai, as you went before me. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told David. If your children will go before me as you did, then the Brit is going to be in place. Now the God of Israel, let your words be come true, fulfilled. Hashem Yibarak la'avdecha David Avi, that you said to my father, David, your servant. Ki ha'umnam. Ki ha'umnam. This is sort of a rhetorical question. Is it really possible? Yeshev Elokim al haaretz, that God dwells upon the earth. Here comes the great pasuk, in which, for all intents and purposes, Shlomo HaMelech is asking the rhetorical question. Hinei Hashamayim u'shemei Hashamayim lo yechalku lucha. Behold, the heavens and the heavens above the heavens cannot contain you. Af ki habayit hazeh asher boniti. Certainly not this house that I have built for you. What he is raising here is, well, it's a question, but we have to understand what the answer to the question is. Now, he's making it very clear. Strange, this whole mitzvah that we have fulfilled. We have fulfilled the mitzvah of building a Beth HaMikdash. And this seems to be the place where you're going to dwell. Now, how is it possible? Is it really possible? Remember, there's a pasuk in Yeshayahu, where Yeshayahu, at the very end of Yeshayahu, he says, God says, Hashamayim kis'i, the heavens are my throne, v'ha'aretz hadom raglai, and the earth is my footstool. Oh, God is awesome. There is no boundary to God. He is boundless. Well, of course, all of the Farshim asked this question in Torah, when we're talking about the construction of the Mishkan. What do you mean, build a dwelling place for God? What do you mean, to build a dwelling place? Like, you know, he's going to come in, he has a dira. What does it mean? I mean, obviously, all of the Mepharshim deal with it on the level of symbolism. Symbolically, what it represents is the idea that the Rebbein Shalom dwells, so to speak, amongst the Jewish people, is involved with them, he cares about them, he is concerned. In a sense, what's really being said by the construction of the Mishkan is something similar to the idea that was expressed by the very creation of the world itself. The Chachmei HaKabbalah, when they talk of Briat HaOlam, the creation of the world. Now, once we say that Malei Kol Haaretz Kavodo, God fills the entire world, how does the universe come into being? A universe, can you have two things occupying the same space at the same time? Now, if God is the one that fills the entire world, where is there place for a world to come into being? So here is where the Chachmei HaKabbalah speak of the idea of Tzimtzum. Tzimtzum means that God sort of contracts himself. He willingly accepts upon himself contraction. He shrinks himself in order to make place for a world to come into being. Which means that which was expressed by God in creation of the world, he now expresses in the mitzvah to build a Mishkan or a Bet HaMikdash. Yes, I am ready. And as the Gemara says, if I wish, ani mitzamtzem et shchinati bein badei ha'aron. If I wish, then I can contract my divine presence between the two sticks that hold the aron. It represents a willingness on the part of God to descend from the very heavens and dwell with his people. And that's the idea that Shlomo is expressing there. Ki ha'umnam, is it really, can it be? Yeshev Elokim al ha'aretz, that God is going to dwell upon the earth. Hinei ha'shamayim u'shmei ha'shamayim lo yechal kalucha. The heavens and the heavens above the heavens cannot contain you. Af ki habayit hazeh asher banita. Certainly not this house that you've built. What he's saying rhetorically is that the fact that you dwell in this house is the act of great chesed. It's the great act of kindness, because God wants to demonstrate for an entire world that he dwells in his holy city amongst his people. This is where he is. And it is from here that the message will go out. The message of God's existence will go from Yerushalayim. Ki mitzion teitze Torah u'dvar Hashem Yerushalayim. How is that going to be? So he says, ufanit el tfilat aram decha ve'el tchinato Hashem Elokai. You should turn to the prayer of your servant. And I would react kindly to the prayer of your servant ve'el tchinato and to his supplication. We'll talk in a moment about the difference between tefillah and tchina. Lishmoa el harina ve'el hatfilah, to hear. Here's another word that's being used, Lishmoa el harina ve'el hatfilah. Where do you remember that from? Rosh Hashanah. I remember as a little boy, I remember the signs, you understand, in Williamsburg. At the top of the sign it would say Lishmoa el harina ve'el hatfilah, and then they would have announcement that Chazan Leibel Glantz or Chazan Leibel of Oldman, they were all Leibelach. And all of them, you know, that this chazan is going to daven here and here. Lishmoa el harina v'la. And we say it in slichas. Lishmoa. One of the slichas ends with the refrain being Lishmoa, to hear the song and the prayer. Rina is another one of the words used to describe prayer. So in this pasuk, we really have the three basic words that are going to be used in the chapter: tchina, rina, and tfilah. And tchina is spelled with a taf, not with a tes. Otherwise it's chopped sesame seed, is that it?
Yeah
okay. Tchina with a taf. All of the words are here, and there's going to be a repetition of these words. Tfila, tchina, and rina. By the way, there are other words that describe tfila. There is shav'a, Za'aka, Sa'aka, crying out from the depths. In this week's Sedra, we have a number of times, by Yiz'aku b'nei Yisrael, by Yitzaku, they cried out, they turned to God. What? So that's already, that's why they're not going to appear in this parak. He's not going to be talking about, crying out from the depths, but he's going to talk about the normal kind of tefillah. We'll see that in a moment. Rina, alright, well, we'll see. Asher avdocha mitpalel lefanecha hayom, that your servant prays before you today. Lehiyot einecha, what is it that I'm praying for? Lehiyot einecha v'tuchot el habayit hazeh laylo v'yom, that your eyes should be open toward this house day and night. El hamakom, to the place asher amarto, that you said yehiyeh shmi sham, that my name should be there. Lishmoa, so that you should hear el atfilah, the prayer asher yitpalel avdecha, that your servant will pray el hamakom hazeh, to this place. Obviously, one of the things that is clearly established by this perek is the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. The halacha in Shulchan Aruch is that you're supposed to face Eretz Yisrael when you daven. You're supposed to face Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, throughout the world, shuls are supposed to be facing here, because what Shlomo HaMelech is going to be saying, the place where prayer is heard should be here, which means that all prayers have to journey here. So, you know, whoever said it, was it Shamir or Begin, you know, that it's a local call over here, it's absolutely true, because all tefillot are supposed to face Eretz Yisrael. And then the Gemara goes on to say, in such as the Shulchan Aruch, if you're in Eretz Yisrael, then you are supposed to face Yerushalayim. If you are in Yerushalayim, then you're supposed to face Har Habayit, the Bet HaMikdash. If you're in Bet HaMikdash, you're supposed to face the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And the Kohen Gadol, who goes in on Yom Kippur into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, is supposed to face between the Kruvim on the Aruch. V'shamato el tchinat avdecha ve'amcha Yisrael, you should hear the supplication of your servant and your people Israel. Very interesting over here. There's something very fascinating over here. Who does he ask for first? For himself. So one way to look at it is, well, why doesn't he Why doesn't he ask that God should hear the prayers of the Jewish people before he asks that he should hear his prayer? Now, what he is taking his leave from, we were talking about the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, is supposed to bring all sorts of sacrifices. You know what it says in Torah? V'chiper ba'ado u'ba'ad beito. First, the Kohen Gadol is supposed to bring sacrifices that are going to be atonement for himself, and then for his family, and then ba'ad kol kahal Yisrael, then for the rest of Israel. In other words, he has to make his peace with God first before he can represent the Jewish people before God. You should hear the supplication of your servant and your people Israel, who will pray to this place. Now we're going to come up against, for the first time, against a theme that maybe you will count it and see how many times it's going to be repeated. There are going to be tremendous repetitions over here. And here is one of those prakim in Tanakh where I haven't found the Mefarshim who are able to explain the meaning of each repetition. Over here we can have to say that the purpose of the repetition is in order to hammer a message home so that no mistake ever be made. You see, the Bet HaMikdash, has an advantage and a disadvantage. The advantage is, of course, that God is in our midst. The disadvantage is that we can make the mistake of thinking that that's the totality of the Rabbeinu Shalom. We may forget the idea of LaHashem Ha'aretz U'Malo'a, the whole universe is. We may forget the opening statement of Shlomo HaMelech, Hinei HaShamayim U'Shmei HaShamayim Lo Yechalkeluch, the heavens and above the heavens cannot contain you, and certainly not this house. So therefore there is a message that Shlomo HaMelech is going to keep hammering home throughout this great prayer. Va'atot tishma el mekom shivtocha el ha-shamayim. You should hear these prayers in the place of your dwelling in the heavens. Here he's dedicating the house, and he's going to be talking constantly and incessantly about the Rebbe Shlomo's dwelling place in heaven. Make no mistake of thinking that by having created this great structure for him, as though this great structure contains all of him. Not so. We are taught Tishma El Mekom Shivtecha El Hashamayim. So to keep you busy and out of trouble, Sarah, I suggest that you count for us how many times we're going to have the We are taught Tishma. Yeah, you count and just keep busy that way. And you should hear on the Kom Shivtecha El Hashamayim, your dwelling place in heaven, Vishomata, you should hear, Vishalachta, and forgive. Vishomata, Vishalachta is said in a pasuk that begins with Vishomata, you should hear, Tchinat Avdecha, V'Amcha Yisrael. The term Tchina. The term Tchina always means when we may be unworthy and we are asking God for an act of chen, grace. V'etchanan, Moshe Rabbeinu says, V'etchanan al Hashem ba'et ha'ilemar, he knows that there's been a decree against him that he cannot go into Eretz Yisrael. So therefore he is asking for lifnim yishurat hadin, Rabbeinu Shalom, an act of chen. Tchina comes from the word chen or chanun. What does it mean? I'm unworthy. Lo magiali. But I'm asking for Rabbeinu Shalom, go beyond the law. That's tchina. And therefore, what is one, the one who is praying a prayer of tchina, what does he want to hear? Slicha, salachta, at the end of the passage. And now he's going to explain it further. A man who's going to sin against his friend, not a simple word to explain. And Allah can either be a curse or it can be a vow that one makes against a fellow human being. And the curse or the oath, that the false oath that was made will be brought as a sacrifice. You have to bring a sacrifice to having made for having used God's name in vain. All of the flames will come before your altar in this house. By the way, if you're counting, this is number two. But what's interesting, of course, is the first time he said it in the pasuk before, he said, "Va'ato tishma el mekom shivtecha el ha shamayim." I believe, if I'm not mistaken, from here on and in, it's just going to be the three words, "Va'ato tishma ha shamayim," and we understand all of the other words. Listen in the heavens, meaning El Mekom Shiftecha, the place in which you dwell, El Hashamayim. V'asito v'shafato t'atavadecho, you shall do and you shall judge your servant. L'harshia rosha, the one who is guilty, the one who is rosha, should be found guilty. L'tei darko v'rosho, upon his head shall come the way in which he conducted himself, punishment. Ulhadzdik tzadik, and that the righteous should be found innocent. Latait lo kitzit kato, so that you should give him according to his righteousness. Punishment and reward. Vihinokev am choyischolifnei oyev asheyech tuulach. So up until now he's been talking about the individual. Now he talks about Klal Yisrael. If your people Israel are going to be smitten before the enemy because they have sinned to you. V'shavu eilecha, and they will return unto you. V'hodu et shemecha, and they will praise your name. V'hitpalu v'hitchaninu eilecha b'vayet hazeh, they will pray. What kind of prayer? The prayer of tchina to you in this house. V'ato tishma ha'shamayim, listen to the very heavens. See, do you see what he went to from the end of the pasuk before to here? I haven't noticed this, but I'm always noticing new things as I speak, as I learn the Shittu. Take a look at the end of Pasuk Lamed Aleph and the beginning of Lamed Beis, 31 and 32. It ends Bapayet Hazer, and then the next Pasuk begins Va'atot Tishma HaShamayim. We have the same thing over here at the end of Pasuk 33, V'itchananu Elecha Bapayet Hazer, Va'atot Tishma HaShamayim. I have a feeling that the purpose is that there should be this balance whenever he talks about the bayit, this location, this limited location, where you can be left with the mistaken impression as though the totality of God is contained here. So he immediately balances that with V'atot Tishma HaShamayim. Because remember, even V'atot Tishma HaShamayim needs to be balanced. Even Rabbi Yehuda Levi speaks about it in the Kuzri. It's not really so. What do you mean you pray by looking heavenward? He's not here. What do you mean? You look heavenward. What do you mean look heavenward? There's something wrong with that too. You should be able to pray to the Rebbeinu wherever he is. Rabbi Yehuda Levi says, we need. The human being needs something to focus on. Sefer Torah is a focus, and Aron Kodesh is a focus. Shamayim is a focus. I can't just, God, I need something to which I look to. So here he has, he keeps moving from Bayit to Shamayim, Shamayim to Bayit, Bayit representing Oretz, and Shamayim, of course, being Shamayim. What, Angelo? No. That's why they made what? The golden calf, yes. It's precisely Rabbi Yehuda Halevi who says that. There's a difference of opinion, was the golden calf idolatry or not? Rabbi Yehuda Halevi is of the opinion it was not idolatry at all. Now, there are two separate prohibitions in Torah. There's a prohibition in Torah against worshipping other gods. Lo yiyelecho lehim acheidim al panadei, there shall be no other gods before me. And then there is another prohibition, not to make an image. Now, making a graven image is not necessarily idolatry. Certainly not if I look at the graven image and I think of God. That's what they needed. They had come from a culture where there was always some kind of a physical focus. For them, all of a sudden, to be thrown into a new kind of theological world of an absolutely invisible God was something that they had difficulty with. And therefore, the Rebbe, Our Lady says, listen, we're doing the same thing when we have a shul in an Aron Kodesh. We do the same thing when we look heavenward. What do you mean, look heavenward? But we need it. We need the Kotel. Must I tell you, my wife reminded me of it a few days ago, somebody who had not been at the Kotel for 30 days, and he came to Rav Shlomo Zalman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and he asked him, does he have to tear Kriya when he goes to the Kotel? So Rav Shlomo Zalman asked him, where do you live? So he said, well, I live in Yerushalayim. So his reply to him was, you live in Yerushalayim and you haven't been at the Kotel for 30 days, at Shagunish Helfi. Like he was, Rav Shlomo Zalman was simply amazed that a person can live in Yerushalayim and not be at the Kotel 30 days. Am I shaking you up? I shook you to the very core. How can you, what do you mean? You live in Yerushalayim and it's Givein Bam Kaisel. It's not like living in New York and not having been at the Empire State Building. It's completely different. Yeah. All right. Va'ato tishma.
I feel that I could speak to Hashem anywhere, anytime. So,
you also.
Yeah, so I don't need to come. But if I have to go.
You have to go. I think that you better.
I bet. Right. So many people.
Yeah.
I didn't
realize. No. So then it's very important that we're learning this whole parak, because don't you see what's happening in this parak? What are being balanced or out or put up against one another, the specific place and the significance of that place. In the final analysis, he's still going to say that all prayers go there and from there heavenward. That's going to be at the very bottom line of this whole parak. So in other words, the same Shlomo HaMelech who keeps reminding you that God is not limited to this house, but He has the whole world, the whole universe, but He's still going to say, this house, this is the place. Watch, in a few psukim, He's going to be talking about goyim coming from all over the world to this place. What are the goyim coming for? Zidzdotn, you understand, and fax your prayers to the Kotel. For that matter, you don't even have to fax them, because God is all over. No, there is. Once the Rebbein Shem commands that you build a Bet HaMikdash, that means that this is the focus. We have to remember that He is all over. But He has made it the focus. He has chosen to dwell there. Because it doesn't say in the Medrash in Shir HaShirim, it doesn't say Me'olam Lo Zozo Shechina Me'Har Nof. The Shechina never departed from Har Nof. It says, "Me'olam lo zozo Shechina me'al l'kotel ha'ma'aravi." That's a medrash that the Shechina, the Divine Presence, never departed from the Kotel ha'ma'aravi. Hine on the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Hine ze omeid acha kotleinu. Behold, ze, he's standing right behind kotleinu, our Kotel. Who's ze? This week, Sedra, Zeh, Keli, Van Behu, Hine Zeh, Omeid Achakatlein. That's where he is standing. I see that you're ready to leave class right now and go straight to the Kotel. You can wait until the end of class.
The one or the two go there?
Yeah, the one or the two. And especially in Har Nof, you have the two going, you have a direct bus to Har Nof. Shame on you. Shame. Watch. Va'ato tishma ha'shamayim. Listen in the very heavens. V'solachta l'chatat amcha Yisrael. To the sin of your people Israel. Here he's talking now about not the forgiveness of the sin of an individual, but the sin of Amcha Yisrael. And you should return them to the land that you gave to their fathers. Remember, he had been talking about here Israel losing in a war before the enemy, and Jews are taken off in captivity. Bring them back here. Beheyotzer Hashemayim, when the heavens are going to be become closed, shut, v'lo yiyamatar, there won't be rain. We say that in Shema. V'otzarat Hashemayim. V'oyim lo. If you're not going to listen, v'otzarat Hashemayim, lo yiyamatar. Ki yechetu loch, because they have sinned to you. V'hitpalulu el ha-makom hazeh, they should pray to this place. V'hodu et shemecha, and they will praise and thank your name. U'mechatotam yeshuvun, and they will do tshuva from their sins. Ki ta'aneim, because you will cause them suffering or punishment. So what did it say in the pasuk before? And you will hear in the very heavens. You will forgive the sin of your servant and your people Israel. You will teach them the good way in which they shall go. You should bring rain upon your land, that you gave to your people as an as a heritage. Rav kiyevaras, hunger, if there will be hunger in the land, dever kiyehiye, if there will be plague, shidafon and yerakon. Shidafon is when the grain, the stalks of grain are beaten, huh? It's used in the makot, of course. It's where? Shdufot kadim. What was that? Was that the stalks of grain that in Paro's dream? Shdufot kadim, that were sort of emptied and beaten by the wind. And yerakon is where it turns green. The stalks of grain in the field turn green. Arbe is locust. Chosil is another kind of locust. They say caterpillar. Now, a chosil is called a chosil because he's more of an arbe than an arbe. All right, okay. He didn't understand the word. No, where do we use the word lechasel? Yeah, so there's a mechirat chisul. You know, there's a clearance sale. That's one thing. Lechasel is, you know, a fatchi shkaki kind of thing, or a yichya ayash. That's also a chisul or lechasel, because it means to clear out completely. And it also means to clear out, really, it means to clear out completely in a destructive way. A chosil is some kind of an insect that simply consumes the whatever grows in the field. That's a ksil with a chaf, just like you can't get your tufs and your tesses mixed up in p'china, you can't get your chafs and your chesses mixed up in ksil or chasil. Chasil is a kind of insect that simply destroys. So Shlomo HaMelech is saying, if any one of these terrible things will happen in Eretz Yisrael, ki yotza lo oyevoy be'eretz sh'arav, or that his enemy is going to oppress him in his gates in the land. I can't help but feeling he had talked earlier about Israel losing a battle before its enemies. Why does he repeat that? Because he's talking about something very, very specific over here. When you have the enemy in your land, and he's oppressing you from within, not from without. Ki yotzar lo oyvoy be'eret sharok tfilo. Kol tchina Ashetia Lechol Ha'adam Lechol Amcha Yisrael. You see the repetition of the word kol, any prayer, any supplication, that any man from amongst all of your people Israel. Every, all. But here he's talking only about Amcha Yisrael. Asher Yedun Ish Negal Vavo. Each man knows the suffering of his own heart. Uforas Kapav Al Abayit Hazen, he will stretch out his hands to this house. By the way, I think I'm right. I'm afraid that I hope I'm not wrong by the end of the parrot. It said Habayit Hazeh, so what has to come after Habayit Hazeh? Or some reference to the Bayit? V'ata tishma ha-shamayim, and you will hear it in the heavens, mechon shivtecha, the established place of your dwelling, v'solachta, and you will forgive, v'asita, and you will do on their behalf. But you see, v'noktata l'ish kechol derachav, you will give each man according to the path in which he goes, Asher Teidat Levavo, you will know his heart, Ki Ata Yodato Levadcha, you alone know, Et Levav Kol B'nei Ha'adam, the hearts of all men. You are the only one who knows. Leman Yidoucha Kol Hayom, in order they should fear you all the days, Asher Hing B'chayim Ol B'nei Ha'adam, that they live upon the face of this earth, Asher Natata La'avol Teinu, that you gave to our fathers. That's of course a little bit strange. You could read the pasuk. You could read the pasuk as saying that you should fear God in the land that He gave you. What about outside of the land? Leman yiruucha kol hayomim asher him chayim al pnei ha'adama asher natata la'avoteinu. Obviously, in Shlomo's experience, there's only Jews. Nobody's living outside of Eretz Yisrael. Everybody is living inside of Eretz Yisrael. But more than that, what I believe Shlomo HaMelech is saying is something that also becomes a theme in a number of psukim in Torah. Yirat Shemayim is only truly possible in Eretz Yisrael, no other place. Famous Gemara. Gemara that he would have learned from his father David. Kol hador b'Eretz Yisrael domek k'mish yesh lo l'kas, somebody who lives in Eretz Yisrael, it's as though he has a god. Kol hador b'chutz lo'aretz, and whoever lives outside of Eretz Yisrael domek, it is as though ein lo eloka, he has no god. Where do we learn that from? That's quite a radical statement that the Gemara makes. Where do we learn it from? When David has to flee Eretz Yisrael, so he says, Ki gershuni hayom, they have cast me out today, may histapeach benachalat Hashem, from being part of the inheritance of God, lemor, as though they're saying to me, Leich avod elohim acherim, go worship other gods. So precisely how David HaMelech felt, this is how his son Shlomo feels. That real Yirat Shemayim that can only be in Eretz Yisrael. Why only in Eretz Yisrael? Because only in Eretz Yisrael is this the place that is called Lifnei Hashem, before God. Only here is a person considered like one who has a God. The Gamel Hanachri Asher Lo Miyamcha Yisrael Ho. Now what Shlomo HaMelech is doing now is Shlomo HaMelech is extending the significance of Bet HaMikdash from the particular to the universal. And when he does this, this is really what's going to be echoed by Yeshayahu and by Micha. Did you ever go to the Isaiah wall? Do you know where the Isaiah wall is? The UN. You never put a kvittel in the Isaiah wall. Why is it called the Isaiah wall? Because they quote over there the great psukim that at the end of days all mankind will flow to this mountain, and from this mountain will come out the great words Ki Yitzion Teitzei Torah Dvar Hashem Yerushalayim Lo Yisa Goy El Goy Cherev Lo Yilmedu Od Milchama, no people shall lift up sword against another people, they will no longer wage war, and then what? And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their that's the next passage. After they beat their swords into plowshares, they beat their spears into pruning hooks. Basically, for pruning hooks, I didn't bother. Right? Okay. And then yes, the lamb will lie down with the wolf. Understand the
I think
lion.
That they have a pestle from the lion.
Yeah, yeah. So it's really the Isaiah wall is really concerned with the second part, the one that speaks of no more wars, an end to war, an end to war, peace, yes, peace on earth and goodwill toward all men. But remember, Yeshayahu sees that only through a Bet HaMikdash in a Yerushalayim under Jewish sovereignty, and from which the word of God, Ki Mitzion Kaitzei Torah, the Rosh Hashanah Yerushalayim. By the way, the same prophecy of Yeshayahu is also in Sefer Micha, nearly word for word. Yes, there is a clear international, universal dimension to Yerushalayim. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech is beginning to describe over here. We once, this was back in Sefer Yehoshua, I think in chapter 10 of Sefer Yehoshua is the first time that the name Yerushalayim appears. And then I gave a shiur, not a bad one for that matter, not a bad one, in which I pointed out the meaning of the name Yerushalayim, but I only want to repeat one aspect of it. In fact, Yerushalayim is spelled without a yud between the lamed and the mem. At the end of the word Yerushalayim, it's really, if you want the real, it's really Jerusalem, Yerushalem. It's spelled in Tanakh, it appears 256 times, and all except five times, there's no yud between the lamed and the mem. But Tosis in the Sefer Tainis Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph says, and we know that this is the way we conduct ourselves, though there is no Yud, we read it as though there is a Yud. We don't read it Yerushalem, we read it Yerushalayim. Now I'm leaving out a lot of other aspects because I just want to get to this. If there's no Yud, so why not read it Yerushalem? What? Why do we read it Yerushalayim? You know why we read it Yerushalayim? Because what does an ayim ending always mean?
Plural.
Yad, ya, dayim, ayim, einayim, regal raglayim. Ayim ending always means plural, two. What's the plurality of Yerushalayim? The plurality of Yerushalayim is that it has universal significance, not only to Klal Yisrael, but to a whole world. The only mistake they're making is they think that this means that it should be an international city. That's wrong. Its plurality will come only as a result of it being a truly Jewish holy city. Yerushalayim. And now, Shlomo HaMelech is beginning to describe the universal dimension of Yerushalayim and the Beit HaMikdash. V'gam el hanochri asher lo mi'amcha Yisrael hu, the stranger who's not from your people Israel. Upo me'eretz rechoka, is going to come from a distant land. L'man shemecha, for your name's sake. That's what Yeshayahu was describing. V'noharu elof kol hagoyim, all of the nations are going to flow toward God. Why is he going to come? Ki yishmun et shimcha hagadol, they're going to hear of your great name, that yodcha chazoko, your strong hand, and your outstretched arm. Shades of Yitziat Mitzchayim, the parashiyot that we are reading now. Uba v'hit palel el abayit hazeh, he's going to come and he's going to pray in this house. You don't even have to look at the beginning of the next pasuk, right? You have to atot tishma hashamayim. You will hear it in the heavens, mechon shivtecho, the place that was established as your dwelling. Vasita kechol asher yikra elecha nachri. You should do all that the nachri is going to call upon you. Now, do you know what's very interesting? Every time he spoke about the Jewish people up until now, in addition to the fact that he said you should hear their plight, he also in each case mentioned schar ba'onesh. He mentioned, yes, there are times you will pay each man according to his way. The one who has sinned should be punished, and the one who has done good should be rewarded. He doesn't say that with regard to the guy, because the guy is only going to be able to appreciate a God who rewards. He's not able to appreciate a God who punishes. He's not capable of seeing the might and the beauty and the greatness of God in suffering. Therefore, he says, "Vasita kechol asher yikrai lecha anachri." Listen, Chmeshul, don't get involved with Goyim. You know what the best thing to do is? Whatever he wants from you, whatever he wants, Vasita kechol asher yikrai lecha anachri, do whatever it is that the Goy asks of you. L'man yedun kol ha-mehoretz, and all of the people of the land should know it, Shmechu, your name, li'yiro t'chav, to fear you, ka'amcha Yisrael, like your people Israel. Your people Israel don't need that you should have to answer all of their prayers. But they do. They should know that your name is called upon this house that you have built. After talking about the Bayit over here, he doesn't have to say Tishma Shamayim. You know why he doesn't have to say it? Because here he's not talking about God dwelling in the house, just that God's name is upon this house. When your people will go out to war against his enemy, in the way that you will send them, with Halul Hashem. Derech ha'ir asher b'charta b'ach. Here comes the halacha. We're talking about the Jew who's going out to war. He may not even be in Eretz Yisrael. Do you know how you're supposed to pray? Derech ha'ir toward this land. That's why the halacha is somebody who lives out of Eretz Yisrael is supposed to face in the direction of Eretz Yisrael. Somebody who is out of Yerushalayim has to face the city. Derech ha'ir asher b'charta b'ach. In the direction of the city that you have chosen, the habayit asher banita baniti lishmecha, the house that I have built for your name, v'shamata hashamayim. But as their prayers come here, they are rerouted. I think the Rebbein Shem has a kov acharai. You know what a kov acharai is?
Yeah.
How do you say it in English? Bezek has a service called Akov Acharai that you can let them know where you are if you're away from home, and then when the call comes in at your home number, it's just transferred to where you are. That's what Rav Hashem has. You know, he's up there, but the exchange is on Harabayit Akov Acharai. The prayer comes to Harabayit, and then it's immediately rooted. It's rooted heavenward. V'shamata hashamayim et tfilatam v'et tchinatam, their prayer and their tchino v'osito mishpatam. And you see, by Klagis, he says, mishpatam, do what is just. Ki yechdu lach, when they sin to you, ki ein adam asher lo yechateh, there is no man who does not sin. Shlomo HaMelech is going to say this in Kohelet. And then, of course, the last problem that we're going to have to deal with regard to Shlomo is, did Shlomo himself sin or didn't he sin? When they will sin to you, and you will get angry with them, and you'll give them before the enemy, and their captors will capture them, el eretz ha'oyev, to the land of the enemy, be it far or near. They will return to their hearts in the land in which they were captured. They will return and they will pray to you in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have erred, we have done evil. They will return to you with all of their heart and all of their soul, in the land of the enemy who had captured them. Here is another part of the halacha. One place it says derech ha'ir hazos, prayer goes through this city. Here it says derech ha'aretz hazos, because we're talking about people who have been taken off into captivity in another country, rechoka or krova, far or near. Derech artsam asher natata avotam, that you gave to their fathers. By the way, I haven't checked. Huh? They're not. They've been captured. Are you getting political?
No, not political. I want to know how the age is true.
Uh,
they
Yes.
Your very good question, but I have. I want to give you homework. Get yourself, pull yourself together. And what the homework that I want to give you is, I think. Will you? You want to take a homework assignment?
I don't care about that religious
truth. Let's
let them.
I have a sneaky suspicion. Listen to me. I have to discipline this class. I think that every time Shlomo HaMelech mentions Eretz Yisrael, he always makes the comment that you gave to them, that you promised to them. If I'm not mistaken, look through the perek and see if what I'm saying is true. I'm telling you, it's amazing the things that I notice when I come into class over here. I'm going to finish to the end of the... No, I won't finish to the end of the chapter. Just another few psukim. So great. And they will pray to you. I agree with you, by the way. I agree with you.
They're being led away. Why is it you saying that they sin, the people who were captured?
Yes, so when they do tshuva out there, and they will pray in the direction of the land that you gave to their fathers, the city that you chose, the habayit asher banita lishmecha, and the house that you built for you. Do you see the whole progression to the land, to the city, to the house? Those are the directions of tefillah. We talked about the house. You'll hear it in the heavens, the dwelling place. Their prayer and their supplication, you should forgive the people who sinned to you, and all of the rebellion that they rebelled against you. You should give them before their captors, that their captors should treat them mercifully, because they are your people and your heritage. Asher Hotzeitam Mitzrayim, whom you took out of Egypt, mitoch Kur HaBarzel, from the smelting furnace fire. No, it's you. Every phrase that he uses here has been used someplace in Torah. This is in Dvarim. Lehiyot Einecha Ptuchot El Tchinat Avdecha. Your eyes should always be open to the supplication of your servant, the Tchinat Amcha Yisrael, the Tchinat of your people Israel, Lishmoa Aleihem, to listen to them, Bechol Karam Eilecho, whenever they call unto you. Ki Ata Hivdaltam Lechol Lenachalo, Mikol Amei Haaretz, because you separated, you set them aside as an inheritance to you from all of the people of the land. Kashe Dibarto Biad Moshe Avdecho, as you spoke through your servant Moshe, Hotziachot Avotenu Mitzrayim Hashem Elokim, when you took... we finished the tefillah. That's what I wanted to say. When you took our fathers out of Mitzrayim, Hashem Elokim. Of course, in the next pasuk, we're going to see not only at one point he goes down on his knees before the Mizbeah. I still owe you the difference between tefillah, rina, and trina. Okay, we know that we owe you that. Alright, Hashem, we'll continue next week. I may be out of the country following that for 2-3 weeks, but I'm working on having an exceptional and an outstanding replacement. As good as I... No, next week, Hashem, I'm going to be here. There comes a time in every rabbi's life when he has to go out to Chutzlars. You see, she put me on a guilt trip over there. I don't even want to go for a visit to Chutzlars.
But you have to.
Yeah, I have to, yes. That's right, okay, the same.